remember where we planned this conversation, right?
I do. And how we planned it.
And we've been meaning to have it forever. We thank God that, yes, we have the opportunity to have it today. But let me just say a very big thank you to our sponsor, Vitamilk. Indeed, a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. We'll take a very quick break and we will be right back to get into the conversation. For staying with us. We took a break and we are back. Thank you very much. So I mentioned earlier, we have a very interesting conversation coming up. We've had this conversation in different forms. Okay, we've talked about it and all. But then we're going to have it in a way that we haven't had before. We're talking about the importance and the health benefits of sex and intimacy. Yes. Sex and intimacy. You heard us right. Like I mentioned, we have talked about it, why it's important, you know, and all that, why some people don't acknowledge it, why some people don't do it, and all that. We've talked about all of it. But today we're going to focus on health. Actually, I was trying to do some reading around it, and I was amazed at some of the things I saw. Doc, that it can even act as a pain relief.
Absolutely.
Like, I was shocked.
Natural pain relief.
So you know that there's so much we're going to cover on the show this morning. But let me start by asking Doc. When we talk about, and Home Affairs, of course, this conversation, please, as much as possible, keep the children away. It's not for them. Of course, we're not going to be talking about anything X-rated or explicit, but if your children will ask you questions around this that you won't be able to answer, then kindly don't let them listen. You know what you can do? Use your phone and put an earbud or your earpiece connected, and then you both can have it in your ears, and then they won't hear what we are talking about, so that we also won't struggle to have our conversation. But Doc, sex intimacy, or we can just say intimacy, first of all, it's not just about, you know, you hold me, I hold you, you touch me, I touch you, and then we end up, you know. How would you call that whole thing, you know, when it, in terms of, in respect to couples, you know, in a relationship?
Right, so good morning to all our listeners and viewers, and it's good to be on the show once again. Adam, it's a three-letter word, sex. It's so difficult to explain it, about it. Everything about it is difficult. Even the performing or performance of it.
It's difficult.
It's also not straightforward. So three letters, but yes, very, very complicated matter to talk about. But on another level, it's actually very simple. Very, very simple. I think depending on the approach.
Okay.
How you come to this conversation. It can be easy or it can be a bit difficult.
Okay.
So I would explain. When you talk about sex in a very conservative society.
Like ours.
Traditionally conservative, religious.
Exactly.
Conservative. Then it is a bit more challenging to see what it is, sex is. But if you look at it from my angle, my professional angle.
Exactly.
Oh, then it's really black and white.
There are no gray areas.
Oh, no gray areas. It's just very, very simple. And sexual intercourse is one of those physiological, and when we talk about physiological, we're talking about the normal functioning of the body. So it's one of those physiological activities that organisms engage in. Let me use the word organism. The human being is probably the most complex organism on this planet. But across board, almost every organism engages in some form of sexual activity. So it is natural.
Okay.
There is nothing unnatural about it. It is a very normal phenomenon to feel a certain urge or a certain need for something.
Okay.
So I think I mentioned the other time to you that it's just like the way
we need food and
we
water.
Need food. You feel hungry, you feel thirsty. I don't think we ever think of it as abnormal or unusual.
No.
We think that it's a matter of course. You would feel hungry from morning till evening. There will be a time where you feel hungry and it's okay. Then we go through the same processes of determining what do I want to eat?
Okay.
How much of it do I want to eat? Do I want it really fast? So there's a fast food. Or do I want to pound fufu?
Uh-huh.
So you're going to peel the cassava, put it on fire.
Exactly.
Soup it's is done. Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you are multitasking there.
I tell you.
You know, then you call somebody, come and pound. When one found bomb himself, you know, so you can be very careful about it. You know, so
but eating fufu can be very gratified.
Oh,
by
yes.
the time you go through all of
all
this process,
of that,
you are hungry the more.
You are really, really ready to savor it.
I know.
All right, so we go through all those processes and we think that it's a matter of course and a matter of fact that we feel hungry, we decide on the food we want to eat, we decide on how we're going to prepare it, and then we eat to our satisfaction. And then we chill out.
That's it.
And wait for the next
time
bout
we're hungry.
Of it. Yes. So point number one, Adam, sexual intercourse and intimacy is a very natural phenomenon.
Mm.
It's as natural as anything you can think about. Point number two, it is a very well controlled, organized, systematic process.
Okay.
Of things that are happening, as we say, behind the scenes. So most people will see and hear us on the show, but then there are some wonderful people doing this production. They will never see them.
That's true.
You know, without their work,
we won't have a show.
We won't have a show.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows about them, but then they are right behind the scenes doing. So there are a lot of things behind the scenes, and one word I want everybody to carry away is hormones.
Okay.
Hormones. So that's the production team behind the scenes doing everything in a very organized, in a very systematic manner.
Okay.
For you to then feel the urge to have sexual intercourse or intimacy with another person. All right.
Mm.
And these hormones come into our bodies at predetermined times. Again, in a very organized, clock-like manner. So we call it puberty. So Adam, you're a parent. I'm also a parent. So I'm seeing one of my boys and then he's telling me, he's trying to pull strands of hair, you know, from his chin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's telling me that, oh, that there's more down there.
Ace.
And I'm like, since when? So, yeah, it's growing down there. Okay, so when we hit puberty, then you see your daughter
mm-hmm.
is telling you that, mommy, my nipple area is painful. There's a lump there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the breast budding. So puberty or adolescence is that time when the boy or the girl transitions into that developing what we call secondary sexual characteristics.
All right.
That's when the hormones hit.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, floodgates are opened, and then here they come.
Mm.
So females have a set of hormones
and then the males have theirs
as well. There's a certain balance. So estrogen and then the progesterone will predominate for the woman, and then the testosterone or the androgens will also predominate for the men.
Mm.
But women also have male hormones and men also have
female hormones.
But they have a predominance of the male hormones, the androgens, primarily testosterone, and the women will have a predominance of
the estrogens. Okay.
Right. So when this hits your body, then we begin to see what viewers are seeing right now, Adam and Dr. Osafo.
Mm.
Now they manifest. So you begin to see the woman develop, the girl
growing into a woman.
Meaning they have the Coca-Cola. And then there's a Coca-Cola. The shape starts to come.
Developing.
And it's the distribution of fat, in certain places that gives the girl child certain contours that makes her sexually appealing to the opposite gender.
It's a whole factory.
Oh, yes. It's a production. It's very organized. It's very calculated.
Mm.
All right? And you don't have any control. You can't say that, I'm 12 years or I'm 11 years. I don't want to go into puberty. So I've turned it off.
Yeah.
So it's not under your control.
No.
And that's why I made the point that this thing is a natural process.
Yes.
Right. Then they will breast bud and develop breasts. So they'll go through a whole 5 stages of breast development. There's something called the Turner staging. So they go through all of that. And then they become very voluptuous and all of that. And then hair development, pubic hair development, axillary hair development, hair in the armpits,
and
all of that all come into play. Then they menstruate. This is where the single men, they struggle. So unfortunately, some men, you lose your wife, you're raising the girl children all by yourself. And I remember some of them will call me and say, hey, there's blood.
What do I do?
That's menstruation, menarche, the first time they would menstruate. And that represents sexual maturity. They have started producing and ovulating. All right, the ovaries are now properly working, and then they are producing a lot more estrogens.
Yes.
Right, the one I left for last is that they start to experience what we call libido.
Okay.
Right, libido is the one's overall desire for sexual activity.
Okay.
Right, so contrary to what most women think, or the community thinks, that it's only men
who have sexual edge or libido.
Yes. I'm here to announce that
women have it too.
Women have it too, because you have estrogens. It's just that the way women culturally are brought up, or society they were brought up, you learn to aketesia okatenisi. You hide it.
True.
You are not very overt about it.
No.
But with the guys, we are looking and undressing
people in your mind,
you can see that the way this man is looking at this woman,
has fornicated.
So all these things happen, and it gives you libido, and you have that desire that I want to have sex.
Wow.
Same thing is happening to the man. This man around is androgens, testosterone.
So the man starts the same process.
The same process. The woman now starts early, 9 years.
Yes.
Boys still around 12. In our part of the world, still around 12. They become very boisterous. They become very adventurous. They fight. Stop. No. They go the extra. They push boundaries. All right? So anybody who has teenagers, and I've got two of them, boys.
Four.
Well, the boys are very, very, very adventurous. They become muscular, all right? They start feeling within them that they're getting stronger.
I know, right?
Their bones thicken.
He's a man.
Yes, he's a man now, So previously he won't fight, but now he gets into fight.
Yeah.
Then he'll call you for PTA meeting, your headmaster's office, and things like that. He'll say, I didn't know how we brought you, why are you fighting? Well, the testosterone is at work.
Mm.
It's been released. So maybe somebody will take something off us, and maybe previously we'll let go. But this time, when you take my pencil in school, I'm coming for it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't give it to you. I said, give it back to me. Then before you know it, they're in a fight. Wow. Because the testosterone just won't allow you to let go.
Yeah.
All right? Then the hair development. That's what all the teenage boys are waiting for. You know, they want the beard.
The beard.
You know, they want to be able to shave and all of that.
They want to taper their hair.
Uh-huh.
My son says, Mommy, I want a front taper.
Yes. You know, so all of that. But again, testosterone is also responsible for libido.
Oh.
So that 12-year-old is no longer a child.
No, he has the edge.
You look at the sister bathing or something, and he's looking at that sister differently now.
Mm.
And it is the hormones.
Wow. So this whole thing about sex is actually very scientific.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you have explained. Of course, I mean, you're born with all of these. It's just that they go through the developmental stages.
Absolutely.
Until, I mean, you are able to really see them and express them. But of course, Doc, we are not saying that because you're probably 12, 13, 14, 15, and you have libido and you have the urge and you're seeing that you're all developing, then you will have to give in.
No.
That's a different side of the conversation.
That's a different thing altogether. We're just letting everybody know that that is what happens.
Yes.
And that is why a child is brought up. We raise children.
Exactly.
You know, human beings, you know, there must be boundaries. There must be rules.
But this conversation is really very important for me. I mean, I wasn't even looking at this aspect of it going into the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you talk about the raising bit, it becomes really very important. Because if you don't know what is responsible for your child's behavior, then how do you even put it in context to help raise the child?
Absolutely.
So now you and I know that there are hormones responsible for every developmental stage of the child to that point where they are beginning to have, you know, the sexual urge and, you know, all those things. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to continue.
Hello, Ahima.
Eti sen.
Eyo.
Na eda hen.
Me kwa chadi.
Edi ebe nsa.
Akrachi, ube suja na se obe shen kwenti.
So, na se jane de uuswa ede ya mkwa ne de obe shen mkakro.
Anyway, me kwa pep vitamin B di ajuju makuma.
What a coincidence. Miso enuwa na miko tu, enuwa na minu.
Hey, bra. We di e wupo wa.
Oh, amwafe, minti mincha wantro.
Ese wara.
Ha, Vitamilk no, emu di he pa na wini jeno.
Me pep Vitamilk banana. Because I'm black and proud.
Hey, interesting. Me dear, me a regular guy. Oh. So wow.
When you come out.
So wow. I can see we have something in common. Oh, Hima, yanko ni yanko try a vitamin connection. What do you bomb me can amit ya? And you be a se quiet down. Aha, namuni bribi. Vitamilk di fufrobia be kambushia ne wan your friend of Vitamilk strawberry. Vitamilk feels good anywhere, anytime. This advert is FDA approved.
We are back from our break, and I am sure that you're glued, you know, because this conversation is very important. It's like I said, we're looking at it from a totally different angle, not the one that you know. That one will come up as well, but it's important that I wasn't looking at this angle of it, but Doug brought it in about how our children are developing the different stages. Oh, now I understand why this boy gets into fights. Get into, you know, you get, what's the name of the thing? You get, now they call it something, not suspension, but you get to write lines, you are grounded in school,
okay.
And all of those.
They put you in a sin bin.
And then I remember I used to worry a lot. I'm like, I want you to be a gentleman. I want you to stop the unnecessary arguments, unnecessary fighting, unnecessary bickering. You are a man, you're growing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel frustrated. But a couple of weeks ago, I looked at him and I said, you're growing into a very handsome young man. Mm-hmm. You're becoming more understanding. Yeah. And this is how I have always wanted.
The package, yeah.
My mind is going into a lot of things now.
Right.
On Mother's Day, I got a letter from him, from all of them, but his.
Yeah.
He started by writing, hey, love.
Hey, wow, wonderful.
So, I'm just realizing that, okay, all the things you're talking about, why is this kicking in? Things will begin to happen naturally.
Exactly. All right? Things begin to happen naturally. And I wanted to go all the way back to the beginning, because we're going to talk about sex intimacy in adults.
Oh, yes, that's what we're going into.
That's what we're going into. But we need to know how it starts.
Yes.
And how we should put in controls.
Exactly.
You see, so the edge would be there. And how do you regulate that edge?
Mm.
All right. Remember, I made a point that it's not like a switch. You can't say, okay, I'm going to town today, testosterone,
bear hold.
Who, you know, when I come back,
I'll put you on.
No, it's there. Morning, afternoon, evening, estrogen, it's there.
Mm.
So the woman, that girl has the urge, and then that's when our culture kicks in.
Mm.
What are your religious beliefs? How are we socialized? You know, how are you being brought up?
Yeah.
And, you know, all those things will help you develop certain values, and then you hold it in check. Yeah, the testosterone is pushing
for
a fight. But they will tell you about, no, you don't use your fist to solve problems. Rather, you use your brain to solve problems. So sit down, report to the teacher. That's why there are teachers in the school, something. And then they will have to now have to exercise that control. Fast forward, they will get to that age where they are adults now.
Mm-hmm.
They are in that situation where it is okay, according to the society's rules, for you to have sexual intercourse. You see the way they put the reins on the horse?
They will do what?
They will put the reins on the horse.
Okay, yes.
All right, to hold it so that the jockey doesn't fall off. You're not going to take it off. You're going to let go.
Mm.
Now, either you are married, so...
You've come of age.
You've come of age. Society says, okay,
you can,
so go. But then this is where we have a bit of challenges, and I'd go back a little bit to explain. Sometimes we shut down the whole system with our cultural upbringing and make certain attributions of evil spirit being possessed by the devil, evil spirits, and that's why you always have these edges.
Because testosterone and estrogen is at work.
Yes.
Ignorance. So we attribute it to evil spirits.
We stamp it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, kona boni. Oh, but it's not bad behavior. There's nothing bad about having that edge. And I've had a teenager come to me to come and ask me that question in the consulting room.
Wow.
I am feeling this way. What is wrong with me? I was like, there's nothing wrong with me. But I say, it's not right. That's what she was saying. It's not right for me to see men and then I feel this way about them. And I was like, oh, no.
There's nothing wrong.
You're not alone. You're voicing yours out. Others are, quote, either they have theirs in check or they're pretending they're not experiencing anything. Or our society doesn't allow us at that age to talk about it.
I
only dream about that age going to my parents or something tell them that seen this. You know, you are feeling that.
For the first
time. Actually, how do you even get those thoughts?
Yeah.
It's evil.
Yeah.
So that's how, and then we target. We give it an evil tag. Then fast forward, you're 25, you've got a good job, you're out of university.
You're married,
you have a good job.
How does it now become good?
Exactly. It is not a light switch that you flick it one direction, it's on. So now everybody is telling you we are waiting for the grandchildren. Hello, how did the grandchildren come? That thing you've been conditioned, it is evil. So it's difficult. They found a way, although the hormones are there, they found a way of suppressing it through thoughts and orientation up here, such that they almost shut it down. They shut the system down in terms of the hormones. Now you want them to
wake up and work.
To wake it up. Not so easy. So then the issue of sexual intimacy in marriage then becomes a problem.
Okay. Doc, we will be getting into those details. But look, I am so happy the way this conversation has gone. You know, I am very passionate about teenagers, young people.
Right.
And I know you know. You know, this usually at their age, they feel they know so much.
They know everything. Once they have a phone, they think.
But they really don't know anything. They need all the guidance in the world.
Absolutely.
And then I am also realizing, or I've always said this on Home Affairs, that it's also because most parents are ignorant. This education, we should have it again. Mm-hmm. This show, we should play it over and over again.
Absolutely.
So that parents and guardians will know that it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Today, my focus will not be to talk about, so how do we even come to learn as parents and guidance,
right.
You know, guardians? Because if you don't have it, okay, the child is feeling this way. One, they're unable to come to you to talk to you about it. Two, even if they try, you're telling them it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're a parent who doesn't think it's evil, what do you even know?
Exactly.
And what are you teaching? So, Doc, we'll be bringing that aspect in,
right.
Like, we'll discuss that. But now we have become adults.
Right.
And it's important that, and when you check, literature will tell you that sex, money, infidelity are part of the top reasons marriages are failing.
Absolutely.
And so today we have decided to
talk. I think
you
want to repeat that. People didn't hear.
That sex and intimacy, money, financial issues, infidelity are part of the top reasons marriages are failing every day.
The sex is the lack of it too. Not the too much of it.
Yes, of course.
Yes, it's the lack of
the
it.
The lack
in marriage.
Of it, yes. Yeah. You know, the lack of it. And then sometimes the improper doing of it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're not getting it right.
The whole ecosystem.
People think that I was getting it too much. No. That it doesn't break marriages.
No. Yeah. You know. So that's where our focus is now.
Mm.
Now that we have arrived here, we've talked about sex, what it is, the fact that, you know, it's a hormonal thing.
Right.
You can't put it on hold and say, I'm picking it up tomorrow. Mm. Your children will go through it. You need to learn to guide them and all that.
Yeah.
Well, become adults. Doc, I want us to talk about, first of all, it's important that we have sex is hard in marriages, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Smashing point.
I want us to talk about some of the importance. Why it is important. Yes.
Right. Okay.
So, I told you I read about the fact that it's a pain relief.
Oh, yes. Oh, don't be. There's so many benefits of it.
Mm.
And it depends on who you are asking. Everybody can come to it from a different angle.
Exactly.
All right. So I would just try and stick to some of the medical facts, some of the physiological facts, some of the things, because there's so many good things that can come out of it. When we talk about health, we don't only talk about physical health. You know, there's always the emotional health or the mental
health.
And then there's also social health.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We tend to forget these two.
Also,
I mean, these days, mental health issues coming up, it's easy for people to discuss.
True.
That's with the social health, we don't even think about it. But at the moment, we talk about sex, sexual intercourse. You know, there are four phases of it.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about that, and then I think when we talk about it this way, and I talk about the benefits, we would understand it. So the first phase one,
is the excitement phase. All right, excitement phase. So that one, nothing is happening. We're going to use this to try and understand when we say, "Shall I got it good," what it means.
Okay.
So the excitement phase is, here I am in the consulting room working, and then ping ping, I checked the phone and then she sent me a message.
Nana was saying.
So the message has come. You look at the message and then you start having concentration problems.
Oh, I saw my
mom. Say, hey, that day everybody's getting paracetamol.
Doc, what wrong diagnosis?
That tomorrow everybody has to come again for me.
I tell you.
You know, so the excitement phase happens. There's no physical intimacy.
Mm.
The individuals are apart. It's all mind games.
Mm.
You know, gifts are being presented.
Yeah.
Words are being written. You know, whispered.
Imaginations are running wild.
Exactly. You know, so sometimes we say that for men, the biggest sex organ is the brain.
Mm.
Oh, we've got a very fertile imagination.
Mm.
Yeah, so when you look into a man's brain, all you see is breasts and tall legs.
Oh,
and,
too bad.
And other parts of the anatomy we cannot name. So that's how the man's brain is. So that's his biggest weapon. So that's excitement phase where, you know, all of that is happening. And then it culminates in the foreplay bit.
Okay.
All right, so that's when eventually you get to see each other and things start happening fast enough,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. Then we go to phase two. So the phase two is the plateau phase. So during this plateau phase, it's all like an intensification of the foreplay.
Okay.
So then there's a lot of physical contact. And this is where, depending on the society or the community where you raised up, everything is game. So some people don't kiss. You call the woman and say, "Go into the room, I'm coming." Kochen or them. You know, then the woman goes, she's
message pulled, sense.
You know, message sense. So she goes under the, you know, pull the bed sheet.
And she's waiting.
He's also waiting, that kind of thing. That's how they were oriented. That's what they were brought up. So culturally, there are differences in terms of what people would do.
Mm.
But then the plateau phase, that's where a lot of these things are happening. This is where your heart is going. Your heart is racing.
Mm.
Your blood pressure goes up a little bit.
Mm.
You're sweating. Your breathing is fast and all of that. Then at the intensification of the plateau phase, you know, there's physical entry,
okay.
You know, and all of that. Then phase three happens. Or I should say doesn't happen for most women.
Okay.
Which is the orgasm.
Okay.
Phase. So again, this is a very, very important point. And for a lot of men, we're responsible for phase three not happening for a lot of women. Because of the way culturally, a lot of men are brought up to have sex. The so-called wham bam. Thank you, ma'am.
The so-called what?
Wham bam. Thank you.
What's that?
And if that's how it goes, turn around, bam 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 bam.
Then we're done.
Done.
Okay. And then life goes on.
Life goes on.
Mm.
So somebody made this analogy and said, if you've lived in a village before, then you know how they light charcoal on the coal pot. You have to take your time. You pour a bit of kerosene, you put some old newspaper down there.
Or you put some small wood
husk of the palm fruit.
Put it on.
You put it on, you light the fire. You have to blow it so many times. You get the wooden fan or whatever it is, and then you fan it. You go through all of that hassle before it catches fire. That's the process women go through before they get to phase three.
Mm. Mm.
But most men don't want to do all of that work. Men, on the other hand, they're like using bamboo to light fire.
Mm.
Oh, it's so easy.
Pam.
Woom.
It catches
and it's
fire.
A very, very excited flame. But oh, I'm going indoors to go and bring the cooking utensils and all of that. By the time you come, the fire is down. So men are like bamboo fire and women are like charcoal fire. And then you know something about the charcoal fire. When you are done cooking,
mm-hmm.
you have to deliberately put it out.
Oh yes.
You pour it to the ground.
Pour water on it.
You have to pour water on it and inspect.
I tell you.
That's exactly how women are. So after the orgasm, if you're able to get the woman to phase three, orgasm, it doesn't end there. There's phase four, which is the resolution phase. You see, orgasm, you've gone to mass. You've reached mass. You're almost touching heaven.
Sorry, people say women are complicated. That's just how God made us.
You see, everything is a process.
We are beautiful like that.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. That phrase, it was for... See, God made man, they had to go and think. And later on...
Every woman is Nyami Ketri.
He had to really think. After that, man, he just made something. Then you came. Happy. So very, very simple and straightforward. So phase four is when you come back to earth.
Mm.
You know, you know, everything comes back to earth and you are in this zone. You know, those who use hard drugs, and that's why I watched this documentary, I think Kwame Dadzi or something.
The
documentary.
Yes.
You know, on
the creatives and then
drug use.
Yes.
They will describe. They tell you that it takes you into this zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's phase four, where you're coming down from those
high.
And that's where the benefits of sexual intercourse
comes in. Oh.
Most men will sleep. Before you know, you're snoring.
Yeah.
But you have to put out that fire you lit.
You didn't.
The charcoal. That's the woman. You have to put out the fire. That's where the cuddling comes in.
Mm.
That's where you are telling her that December you buy her S-class Mercedes.
Even if you are lying.
Ah, you are lying. Not even if. Those days, so you call them sweet nothings. It's nothing but it's sweet.
Oh, dear.
That's how you... Put out the fire.
Oh, dear.
Poor
us.
Oh, no. You need it. We have to put out the fire. You know, so you say all of those things.
Mm.
You know, it's phase four. And I'll tell you this. Everybody sleeps well after sex.
Mm.
After good sex.
Doctor, if you don't sleep well, then what is the issue?
I don't know anybody who didn't sleep well. It means you didn't go through phase three. If orgasm doesn't happen, most people feel very frustrated. Some women are known to be teasers, and they are labeled that way by men when they don't go through phase three. You lead the man on, and then he says stop. That no thing. Hey, baby, are you doing no? Then you see the men are very frustrated. This one sometimes brings out the issue about rape and all of those things.
Mm.
But we've gone phase one.
Phase two. Phase three cry has started.
Baby, are you three? How do we say no? It says when the woman says no, it's no.
Okay.
So that's where the frustration comes in. But if you go through all of these four phases, the first thing is that you sleep very well.
Okay.
So the benefits of sleep.
Let me be ticking them. I have them written.
Right. So the first thing is sleep.
Good sleep.
And then we're going to go into the benefits of good sleep. How that lowers your blood pressure.
Mm.
All right?
Wow.
How that improves your self-esteem.
Mm.
Positive self, you know, image.
I have all of
that. You know, how that makes you wake up on the right side of life.
Improved self-esteem.
You know, and that's all coming from having a good night's sleep.
Which is as a result of
having not sex, but good sex. Phase one to phase four type of thing.
Mm.
All right? It puts you in that state. We have something called neurotransmitters.
Mm.
In simple terms, your brain communicates with the rest of your body by releasing chemicals.
Okay.
All right? And the chemicals travel, they send messages and allow your brain cells to communicate with all other cells in the body. All right? The group of them we call endorphins. Mm.
Heard about them.
Oh, yes. We call them the body's natural opiates. You know, the tramadol and then the heroin and those things. The way they make you feel. One, pain relief. Wow. When you release endorphins, oh, you can walk on thorns.
Yes.
Won't it?
Yes. And that's all as a result of, it comes when you have good sex.
Yes. The happy, it releases them. All right? The endorphins.
The feel-good hormones.
Yes. So you see cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and your head is in the clouds.
Yeah.
All you see is heavy. You see,
when it gets to that level,
yes, yes, yes. You don't see the problems on Earth.
I know, right?
Because your head is just in the clouds, and that's where you are.
Wow.
I remember one of my ONG consultants, medical school, and I was like, those who live in a compound house will understand this. When a woman wakes up and she's sweeping the compound and she's whistling, as she's sweeping, humming tunes, singing as she's sweeping, there you know.
You know that she had a good night.
Ah, absolutely. Did I say I don't know a friend of Jacob Pra? Jacob Pra. You see, it puts you in that state. You release a lot of these endorphins. They are happy neurotransmitters, happy hormones. It makes you feel good.
Mm.
You're on cloud nine. So this is what you do for your partner.
Mm.
You make them wake up. You make them feel they're on top of the world.
Mm.
It doesn't matter their current existence, their financial circumstances, whether there's doomsaw, whether there's doom CC, whatever it is. You see, it's just how you've made
them feel.
You've made them feel. All the troubles just melt away. And these are chemical responses because of good sexual activity.
Wow.
So the endorphins are great. They're pain, they relieve pain, and then they also make us happy. They treat depression or prevent depression.
Mm.
They resolve anxiety.
Mm.
You're going for an interview the following day, that night. Charlie, you must have faced three like two times.
Yeah.
So then when you wake up in the morning, as you are arranging his tie knots properly, then you tell them, go and smash it. Charlie,
and it works.
He's going for the interview and then he thinks that he's even the CEO of the list. He sits there and he's exuding.
You've become delusional.
He's exuding confidence. He see that, we want a confident man in this position. It's the wife. What the wife gave him the night before, face three, two times.
That is accounting for
it. Feel good about yourself. So if these things don't happen, it blocks off all of these things. People develop depression. People develop generalized anxiety disorders. They're not sleeping well. They develop acne because of all this poor sleep. A whole lot of things happen when you're not sleeping well.
Mm.
It gives your immune system even a boost from what we've been told. You know, because of a lot of these neurotransmitters that are released or chemical substances that help the immune system function well.
Wow.
Well, I think now because of COVID, we all know a thing or two about how useful the immune system is to us. So, Adam, from the medical point of view,
the benefits are enormous.
It's super good.
It's super good. Doc, I read also that it helps to improve bladder control in women. Is that true?
Well, yes. I've come across those findings as well. You know, because of the release of some of these hormones. So the bladder is it's a bag of muscle, all right? And it has a sphincter, which is made up. A sphincter is almost like a lock.
Okay.
All right? It's when we release that lock, we pee. Sometimes you're somewhere, you're feeling the edge, but you're in a meeting, you're in an interview, you can't tell them, please, I want to go and pee and come back. No. So you hold it. We can control that sphincter. But it's all made up of muscle and all of that. So where it is in the pelvis and all of that, the pelvic floor muscles, when you have an orgasm in phase three, the spasms that go through you and all of that, you know, they help to improve the pelvic floor muscles. You know, so people know about the Kegels exercises and all of that. You know, so if you're doing that repeatedly over time, it gives you good bladder sphincter control.
What about the prostate?
Right. So the connection there is with ejaculation.
Okay.
All right. So there's this study that found out that men who ejaculate less frequently are at a higher risk of developing
prostate
cancer. All right, you get the angle.
Yes.
Men who ejaculate less frequently. So if semen doesn't come out on a regular basis, you don't ejaculate, bring it out, and you keep all of it, then we believe that there are certain chemical substances in there that feed some of the prostate cells. And if you have other risk factors, we don't understand the entire story about prostate cancer yet. I mean, we need to get better understanding. But that's what the study found out. So I am stressing the point about ejaculation because some people can say, okay, well, it's not directly linked to sex, but somebody can masturbate and then have an ejaculation. But here we're talking about it in a married setting. So in that respect, they say a good wife will fill the stomach and empty the scrotum.
Ayaka. On that note about filling stomachs and empty scrotums, Doc, look, we're learning so much. And what we are doing is just to help people to begin to look at this whole thing differently.
Right.
Why would you even allow it to break your home when you have what it takes? But we also know that there are some people, I mean, you will be able to explain to us better, who might be desiring and want to give their partners the best of experiences when it comes to sex and intimacy, to be able to have all these benefits. But there may be some reasons. Again, these will give you health benefits, but there may be some other health issues why you can't get these benefits.
Absolutely.
So I would want us to get into some of those so that people don't feel like, oh, but I have this condition, but this is the reason. Would want to understand that.
Right.
So if, not just understanding it, but if we get to know that this is why my partner is unable to take me to cloud nine, how do we deal with it? I'll be back to talk for us to talk about that. And that is why you don't have to go anywhere on this show. We've been live from the beginning of it on, you know, Ajoy 997 on Facebook and also live on YouTube. So even after the conversation, you can catch up on it as many times as you would like to, or even share with family members who need this. It's been very broad, right? From raising your children, all the hormonal changes they go through, to where we are now. It's very, very, very important. And I am sure that this will solve a lot of problems in our homes. Now, the joy of every parent is to see their children cheerful and happy. And to achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients and multivitamins which can promote their welfare. And one of such nutritious beverages is Vitamilk Soy Milk Drink. Vitamilk Soy Milk is made from natural soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein. We're talking about vitamins B1 and B2. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavoring, and no preservatives. Choose the Vitamilk Champ for your children because it has plant protein and it is nutritious, amazingly delicious, and also very satisfying. Vitamilk also comes in its regular soy milk drink. You can have it in the multi-cereal with no caffeine, also in the choco, in the banana, in the strawberry, and you can also have it in the 250 mils or 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. Back to Dr. Yao Safo, CEO of Medicas Hospital, and we're continuing with our conversation. Doc, so we're asking the health benefits. I'm sure now everybody listening would want to have it. You want to, you know, start. If you weren't making efforts, you want to start making efforts to ensure that you are getting the benefits of this thing that God has naturally gifted us.
Yeah.
But we also know that there could be some health reasons why people are unable to enjoy the full complements and benefits of it. Can we talk about some of those?
Right, sure. So, Adam, there was once, I think about 28-year-old male came to the consulting room, and these were the complaints. I'm 28, I have no hair on my face, never shaved, smooth face like a baby's bum. No hair down there either. Voice almost feminine. And then he said, his little man too is really little.
Oh dear God.
So, long story short, he didn't go through puberty. There are individuals who have genetic problems, genetic conditions that affect their gonads, the sex hormone producing structures in the body, such that they are not able to produce the hormones for them to be able to naturally experience what comes to everybody naturally. So you may think, oh, okay, in our very conservative society, oh, this person is holy, holy, quote unquote, and he's a gentleman, you know, he was waiting to, you know, get married before, no premarital, something, and then they get married, and then, okay, now let's do it. You see, he can't feel anything. Doesn't even see a woman, doesn't feel
anything.
The libido is not there.
Yeah.
That smooth face means the testosterone is not there.
Wow.
So it means the libido too will not be there.
Wow.
And he doesn't know what is happening to him. And then the wife also thinks that, hey, why am I not woman enough for you? So the first thing we always need to think about is that this might be a medical condition, a genetic condition that needs to be evaluated. And when you come to the hormone clinic, it's one of the things that we have to deal with.
Okay.
And we look at individuals like that who don't have enough.
So it can be dealt with?
It depends on exactly what the genetic condition is. Some of the treatments quite expensive because we give you replacements.
Okay.
All right. Some of them quite simple and straightforward. They don't have enough testosterone. We give them some testosterone patches they can stick on to their skin, or monthly injections, and we replace. So we call it hormone replacement therapy. So it depends on exactly what the nature of the problem is.
At least there could be interventions.
Oh, yes. So there are always. You know, the first thing is your doctors have to know.
Great.
And when we know exactly what is, then we can talk about the intervention. Sometimes, Adam, knowing that, you see, so sometimes I hear, am I not beautiful enough for you? You see, so it's psychologically very damaging for your spouse to think that way and feel that way.
Great.
You know, so but if they come to the clinic and we explain to your wife or your partner that actually this is a medical condition, it has nothing to do with you. You are a very beautiful woman, nothing wrong with you, but this is what he's going through. This is a genetic condition.
So could even become supportive.
Could become very, very supportive throughout the whole treatment process. They know what to expect and what not to expect.
Great.
So that's one reason. Another category of individuals are those who have had certain medical conditions, unfortunately, either because of late diagnosis or poor compliance with treatment. They've developed complications out of that disease that then affects all of these things, their abilities to perform. You know, so diabetes is one of them.
Oh dear.
Hypertension is one of them. You know, it can cause great sexual dysfunction.
Okay.
You know, especially in men. And then that becomes very, very frustrating. If you know about the health-seeking habits of men in this country, it is not It's, I mean, it can be better. It is not what we want it to be.
Mm.
You know,
they are mature about everything.
We're mature about everything. You know, going to see a doctor, or they want your bema. I need to be everything you want. Why you want to go to the hospital? Again, that's our orientation.
Sure.
So a lot of men are living with diabetes. Diabetes is destroying their that whole system, complex system that is involved in, say, erection and all of those things. So they will be there and they can't perform, and they go hunting for aphrodisiacs. But meanwhile, that's
the
not
problem
it.
The problem is not aphrodisiacs.
The problem is not an aphrodisiac. The problem is that you're suffering from hypertension, but you're not aware. You're suffering from diabetes, but you're not aware, therefore you're not getting treatment.
Or the poor compliance.
Or the poor, yes, the poor treatment. Compliance. Some of them know. And Adam, this one, I'll hold my hand up and I say, sometimes we are to blame as clinicians or as doctors. There are quite a number of anti-hypertensive medication, blood pressure medications that have erectile dysfunction or sexual dysfunction as a potential side effect. So we are supposed to put all our patients, the male patients, on notice when we prescribe it. It's not that it causes it, it's that it has the potential to cause it. So that when they begin to experience it, they know, and then they come and report, and then we can switch. But most of the time, our counseling is not about that. We'll tell you about the other side effects. You might get some gum bleeding and gum swelling. You may get a dry cough. We'll tell you about all those things. But we tend to sort of like even forget about erectile dysfunction. And you see, men, we don't complain, especially these things about poor sexual function. It hits our ego really, really hard. So if he can't perform, he won't go and tell anybody.
No.
If he come into the hospital, but some of them, they figure out. Then they drop the medication.
And then you get a different set of complications.
You get a different set of from which you may not be able to recover.
Oh.
So we as clinicians, we ought to do better.
Great.
And by putting them on notice. So that's part of the compliance thing.
Okay.
If you don't tell them and they find out, then they ditch the medication.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other bit of the compliance thing is just
take your medication.
Take your medication, and then you'd be okay. Lastly, there are other group of people who have developed physical problems, back problems.
Mm.
I mean, one of the benefits of exercise, is very good exercise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good exercise. And if you really want to go the phase one to phase four, then
it's a good exercise.
If you know the Kama Sutra, you know that you have to be able to get yourself into all sorts of positions. You know, and not feel, hey, mechi, hey, my neck, my
wrist,
hey, no,
my knee.
Very flexible, my knee, and then we can't do anything, you know. So don't come and do my waist, you know, because you have to go through all, put yourself through certain positions to be able to, enjoy it. So as we grow older, our spine takes a hit, the certain bad back pain, neck pain, and all of that. And it makes sex a very, very difficult, painful experience, and it takes our mind off that. Lastly, I know I said lastly, but lastly, women after menopause, again, that's also physiological. You've gone to another stage, another phase of life. This time around, the estrogen says, bye,
gone. I ain't coming no more.
And then you begin to have dryness, Sahara Desert.
Oh, dark.
No matter what is dry, there's no oasis that can be seen in the desert.
So there's no desire.
It's painful.
Oh.
It's painful. Without lubrication, it's extremely painful.
So lubricate and go, if that is the only problem.
No, but you see the whole thing, you see the spontaneity that comes with sex. Hey. Where is it?
Keep it by your bedside, under your pillow.
It breaks all of the. But that's why people have to know. A lot of women feel that menopause just means that my menses has stopped.
It's actually a
hormonal condition.
Okay.
It is the hormone that has ceased, and everything else is an effect of that. All right? So the effect is that you're going to go through that, you call it dyspareunia. The sex is very painful, and it's a put off. So So that's another category. And that's what sometimes it brings a lot of difficulties. You don't want it. The man wants it. They say, So these are the various reasons why people may not be able to, despite all the education we have put out today, people may not be able to enjoy sex. But all these things that I've mentioned, I mean, you provided an answer for the last point, for example. Menopause can be treated. So there are always solutions to all of these things. That's why your doctor it must be your friend. When you're down, your doctor, get a doctor as a friend. You'll talk, visit, and things like that. We always have solutions to so many things. There are a lot of solutions to a lot of things.
Doc, I want to ask, I mean, we've looked at the, you know, health issues, and like you're saying, if you have a doctor as a friend, or you have a good rapport with, you know, a doctor, and you're asking frequent questions, you will know. But you also do know that there are some people who maybe as a result of unforgiveness, anger, your friend is saying, the economic conditions, all of these things, you know, could even become a put off for, you know, either partner. And when these things are happening and you realize that one partner, maybe the woman, is becoming very frustrated, because then could be that your husband is upset about something, they're not talking about it, so they probably have switched off, they're maybe getting it outside, maybe, I'm not saying it's always the case, he doesn't have money, he's angry, or something like that, and this person is frustrated, so you are denying them. If it is that, which is not a health issue, how do you deal with it? Because this person is just deliberately withholding it.
Right, so most of the time it's a health issue. It's a mental health issue. It's an emotional issue. So again, we're back to that definition of health: physical, mental, emotional, and social. So we've jumped into a different aspect of health, which is emotional. And you're absolutely right. There's so many things in our environment, the organism's environment, that influences the way we feel. If your business is struggling, I know a lot of businesses now
that are really struggling.
You know, you took a loan at 12 cities to the dollar.
And now?
You see, so when even they send you the phase one message,
you don't know.
You look at it.
You don't know what is happening.
You delete it. The dream said, Yamina, friend said, they bring, come and deliver flowers.
This is all you're thinking about.
This is all you can think about. You see, emotionally and mentally, that person is not in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's a killjoy. It just takes it away. So, stages in life, you know, at every point in life, what is happening? Workplace. You've got this, you've been passed over at work. You're due the promotion, you've worked hard, 20 years in the organization, dedicated service, all of that, and you know that, this opening
is yours.
Then
it passes you over.
And the person they brought into that position,
you are now coming to even teach the person the job.
You are now coming to even teach the person.
I can't imagine.
You can't do phase three.
No.
Ember.
First one, can you respond?
Nothing. Everything goes flat. So there are a lot of those things. When we are growing, everybody has, well, not everybody, most people have ambitions. We set our targets for ourselves. Oh, by 40, I must have my house. You know, I would like to drive this car. My children go to this school. Then you hit 50 or you hit 45 and you're looking back. And you know, you're not where
you wish you were.
Yes.
Or you wish to be.
And you're looking at what is left. And you know you can't catch up. You see, and that takes a lot
away from you.
Away from
depressed, frustrated.
So all those things are very, very important emotional health issues that can translate into no sex or poor sex, and therefore people don't have those benefits. So solution, you need to seek professional help. You see, ese kukuru kukuru ni jaya. So we're not going to tackle the sex thing and tell you to take the Kama Sutra and go to chapter one. Okay, those financial difficulties you are going through right now, everybody lives in Ghana.
Everybody's going through. Yeah.
Okay, so how do we deal with it?
Mm.
You try and look for solutions to that. So that's what go for professional counseling. Not This professional help, you can take your business to somebody, they sit down with you, give you some ideas, and so on and so forth. Right. And then we have clinical psychologists. You know, and then you have to go and do that.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're starting like
you're natural. You're natural. I mean, I just see you in that position.
Dog, it's happening.
All right. So yeah, I'm marking that register there. You know, some people are naturally good at finding solutions for other people.
Mm.
Some of them get professional training, they become clinical psychologists. Sometimes you need to talk to a psychiatrist and all of those things. Unfortunately, in our part of the world, these things haven't caught on properly. We still want to hear psych, then we say mad.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't want to hear, hey, you brought down, I haven't lost it. We feel so embarrassed by going to have to talk to another person who will then help you navigate your problems.
But it's really very important.
It's absolutely important. You can't carry the whole world.
No,
you
know,
all of us, you know, think, oh, Lord, of course, maybe he doesn't have any problem. He always knows what to do, what to say, and all of that. Hey, my problems are big. They're very, very big. And there are people, some people are offload on. You know, you go and sit down and talk. Somebody will see something you don't see,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of that. So, again, there are solutions to all of these things. And in all of this, don't shut the partner out. You see, even if you don't want to talk, carry the person along.
Look, before your last advice, which is don't shut your partner out, I have a message.
Right.
This one is saying that, so, I even got this message before we got on the show. It says that, so what if your partner is just deliberately, it's from a woman, your husband is, I mean, an unfaithful person. Mm. So he's all over the place and it's just deliberately not minding you.
Yeah.
And she says it's gone on for over 2 years.
Right.
And she's very frustrated because this one is getting it elsewhere.
Right.
And he puts it in your face.
Right.
You know, what does she do about it?
So, Adam, a message is being sent. This is deliberate. All right. There are other people, they go out all right, but we make sure that the house is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, a message is being sent. The relationship is at a point where the two of them can't solve it out by themselves. This is where a mediator comes in. Somebody needs to step in that space and try and understand why that message is being sent.
Doc, you know some of these people are not willing to take their issues to a third person. And you won't be too much for my worry. You've heard that.
Oh, yes, right. There are people, and I'll tell you that most men are territorial.
Exactly.
They feel that this is my house. What happens in my house? My house is my castle. I am the sovereign.
Why is another man what coming to tell me man? How to run? Or a woman, for that matter.
But in all things, Adam, I've also realized one thing. It will be our